2 Peter tonight, 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm breaking away from our three series for this service tonight. And while I'm thinking about it, I need to see Brother Jack Mosier after church. If you wouldn't mind to come up here just a moment. And Brother Roger Cox, I thought I saw him. Did I see him? I need to see you just a moment as well, okay? After the service, if you men will just come right up here, I've got something for you here, okay? 2 Peter chapter number 3, just one verse of Scripture tonight. Now, typically I'm preaching through one of our series, but I'm taking a break from those three series. And God willing, we'll get back into those on Sunday. But tonight, I just felt led towards this message here, and I want to bring it to you. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18. The Bible says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Again, the Bible says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." I want you to notice the words, "grow in grace." Grow in grace. And I want to preach to you tonight on growing in grace. Now let's pray together, and I want to share this thought with you. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness to us. I pray that you'll bless this service. And I pray that you help us all to understand this Bible principle that's brought out for us here in this glorious book. Help me, Lord, to do an accurate job tonight. I pray, Lord, that you help me to be all that you have me to be. Forgive my sins. Help me to be clean. And we give this service to you, Lord. Ask for your will to be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 3, he said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Then again in John chapter 3, verse 7, he said, "Ye must be born again." Now, it's interesting to note the fact that salvation is a new birth. However, when a birth takes place, it's only the beginning. Now, the growing process begins with the birth, if you will. It actually begins in the womb, but I'm talking about once they're born, then the growing process begins. It's time for the babe to begin its journey to adulthood. Now, it's the same way in a spiritual birth. By the way, anytime the Lord calls something like salvation being the new birth, you must be born again, He's trying to teach us some great lessons. For instance, some of the lessons He's teaching us is that it's a one-time experience. I mean, you're only born once physically. Guess how many times you're born spiritually? One time. We understand that in a birth, we had nothing to do with our birth. Our mom and our dad came together, God blessed it, and we were conceived. We had nothing to do with it. And you have nothing to do with your spiritual birth. It is completely a work of Almighty God. And I'm telling you that when He's talking about the birth here, we're seeing some things about this that once a baby is born, it is time for the baby to begin to grow. And I'm telling you that as soon as somebody trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior, it doesn't matter how long you've been saved, you should never stop growing in grace. And you should never stop growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now tonight I want to put this growing process under a spiritual microscope, because we understand that God wants His spiritual babes to grow up into spiritual mature adults. Now to understand this, there's several things about growing that I want to bring out to you tonight as we think about growing in grace. Now these things, if you will, I want you to think about your own life, maybe your children, maybe your grandchildren. If you remember your children whenever they were born, if you don't, you got problems, I guess. But what I'm saying to you is remembering all these things. Remember when you brought the little bundle of joy that became a nightmare? I'm just kidding with you there, okay? Remember when you brought he or she home from the hospital? Now, I want to paint a picture in your mind tonight about a little baby and how that little baby now is growing up. And it's getting to the point to where he or she can roll over. I mean, when you first brought he or she home from the hospital, I mean, one good thing about it, well, I mean, even though they stayed up half the night or whatever the case may be, one good thing about it is you lay the little one down, you don't have to worry about them killing themselves because they can't move. They just lay there, you know, all this kind of stuff. Like, you know what I'm talking about. But the more you feed them, the more they start growing. And when they start growing, not trying to scare you here, you know, Bob and Lindsay here yet, all this kind of stuff. But once they start growing, then things start taking place. I'm talking about they start rolling over. And then they'll roll back over and then roll over again. And then eventually they start crawling. And eventually they start walking, start pulling up. Am I painting anybody's picture for you? I mean, honestly, I'm bringing back some memories in a lot of our lives because our children's past this point. I mean, Jalen's jumping off the back of the couch almost now. Hallelujah. I mean, yesterday, all the days running together for me. I was sitting on our couch and I was looking at Becky here and all of a sudden, pow, she fell on me. She said, "I'm all right, Daddy. I'm okay." All this kind of stuff. I'm saying that it goes from a baby, he goes from a baby, and as they eat and as they grow, they begin to pull up, and eventually they begin to walk, and then you know what's next. It is fifth gear all the way. I'm talking about from the time they get up to the time they go to bed, and eventually they're graduating, and what I'm saying is they're growing up constantly. Do you know God wants His children to be the same way? He doesn't want His children to remain helpless. He doesn't want His children just to be content with rolling over. He doesn't want His children to be content with sitting up on all fours. Now, He's patient, but He wants you to get up and He wants you to walk. He wants you to go. He wants you to grow. Now, it's this growing process I want to talk to you about tonight. And I want to bring out several thoughts about growing. And I want to ask you this question: how tall are you? How old are you? How big are you? How advanced are you in your walk from a baby to an adult? If you ever feel you've arrived, you've missed what Christianity is all about. There is never a time when it's good not to grow, spiritually and even physically. Now, let's look at this growing process. Number one, growing is conditional. Growth is conditional. Now, if you're going to grow in grace, there are certain conditions that must be met. In other words, you cannot just sit and hope to grow. It doesn't work that way. Now, I'm going to be referring to my kids a lot in this because this is the overall illustration to help us understand what's being taught tonight. An illustration of Judson growing up. Now, Judson has even made the statement, "Daddy, I'm already to your neck." He's already made that statement, which means I take a ribbing from my kids. I mean, everybody. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying. And all I'm saying to you is that he wasn't always as big as he is tonight. Now, he's over there running around like a chicken with his head cut off. Not now, I hope, because they're in handbook time. But I'm telling you that it didn't happen unless there were conditions that were being met. Do you understand? If your child is going to grow, there are certain conditions that must be met. Growth is conditional. Now, I want to give you four conditions to grow. I'm talking about physically, and it relates all the way to spiritually. What are these conditions? Well, number one, under this, there must be the condition of a proper diet. Now, what I mean by that is whenever we brought the babies home, when Judson came home, since he was our first, when Judson came home, we didn't lay a ribeye steak down in front of him, folks. He ate milk. Does this sound familiar to anybody? And yet the older he gets, the more he wants junk and everything else. I mean, he's gone from milk to baby food to solid food, and I'm telling you, he'll eat steak, he'll eat anything that we put in front of him. Well, not anything we put in front of him. But he's eating solid food. Now, if anybody knows anything about the Bible, you know where I'm going with this. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Now, it's interesting that the Word of God calls itself, right here in 1 Peter 2:2, calls itself milk. You know where it calls itself in other places? You know what it calls itself in other places? It calls itself meat. You know what else it calls itself? Water. What can your physical body not do without? You cannot go without, when you're a baby, you needed milk. When you're growing up, I'm talking about solid food, meat, solid food. And there's never a time when your body does not demand water. It's the same way spiritually. what your food and your water is to the physical growth is what the Word of God is to the spiritual man. Now, flip with me to the book of Hebrews, just back just a few pages here. Hebrews chapter number 5 and verse number 8. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. The Bible says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Of whom we have many things to say, verse 11, chapter 5 of Hebrews, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Now, here's what he's saying. He's saying when you should have been teaching others the meat of God's word, you had to go back to milk. He's saying you're not growing. You're not maturing in the Lord. And then he gives his advice, his command in verse number 6. He said, go on unto perfection. Now, I want to look at this right here. Again, this is under growth is conditional. And the first condition to be met is the proper diet. The word perfection here means maturity. So let's read it this way, chapter 6, verse number 1. Let us go on unto maturity. Let us go on unto adult Christians. It is God's will for every one of his children to go on. It's God's will for every one of his children to grow up and to do something for God. This is impossible. You cannot grow unless you're eating right. It's not going to happen. Now, what I'm telling you here is that if you don't have a steady diet of the Word of God, you will not grow as a Christian. Now, God desires us to get to where we are not spoon-fed. And the way you get there is you eat what God puts on your plate. And what it is, it's His precious Holy Word. I'm telling you tonight that you ought to be reading the Bible every day of your life. The Bible says in Isaiah 34, 16, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. You ought to be memorizing the Word of God. This is why we're memorizing Scripture as a church. We're trying to help you hide God's Word in your heart. Psalm 119, 11 talks about this. You ought to be meditating upon the Word of God. Have y'all have a hard time remembering what you read? Would you raise your hand? You have a hard time remembering it. Join the crowd. I have a hard time remembering what I read. Sure not, I do. I try to make notes in the margin of my Bible. Somehow, some way, I underline scriptures that if God speaks to me, I'll underline it. I'll make it so when I go back, it jumps off the page at me. I'm telling you, that's meditation upon the Word of God. You should not read the Bible just to read it. Now, if you don't feel like it, you need to read it now, okay? But if your main goal is to ease your conscience, but you don't care what you read, you're not going to think about it, you're not going to meditate on it, God's not impressed with that, folks. He's not impressed with that. I'm telling you, you need to read it, but you need to memorize, you need to meditate upon it. Psalm 119, 15, I will meditate in thy precepts, and then eventually and ultimately we need to obey it. The Bible says in James 1, 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. I illustrate that again with my blood pressure medication. Now, I'm on blood pressure medication. I'm trying to wean myself off of it. But the fact of the matter is, it is medication to help lower my blood pressure. I inherited that from my mother. She's here, and she knows I'm telling the truth. I got a lot of great things from my mom, but that's one thing I wish I hadn't gotten from her. But that's one thing I got from her. And that side of the family is high blood pressure. Now, when I went to the doctor and got diagnosed with that, I wasn't happy with it, but it was important that I got diagnosed. They showed me what was wrong with me. You understand what I'm saying? And then he wrote a prescription to help lower my blood pressure. It was good he wrote that prescription. I took it to the pharmacy and I got it filled. It's a good thing I took it to the pharmacy and got it filled. I read the illustrations, the instructions that tell me to swallow one pill a day and not five. It's good I read about it. It's good I found out about it. But folks, if I don't swallow the pill, it's not going to take effect in my life. It's the same way with the Word of God. If you're reading it, that's wonderful. If you're meditating on it, that's wonderful. If you're memorizing it, that's great. But I ask you this, are you obeying it? Because if you're not obeying it, it's not taking root in your life. We're looking at this together, growing in grace, growth. What about growth? Well, first of all, it's conditional. And the first condition is there must be a proper diet. Number two, there must be a proper atmosphere. In other words, you cannot expose your child to the elements of the world like winter and extreme heat and expect them to live through it. They have to be living not only with the right diet, but they have to be living in the right atmosphere. You know, the Bible says, now when you talk about atmosphere, how do you think I'm going to apply this? I'm talking about not only how you eat, but I'm talking about your prayer life right here. I'm talking about living in the atmosphere of heaven, if you will, talking to the Lord God of heaven. Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Psalm 55:17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Just like the proper atmosphere must be in place for somebody to grow, you must have a prayer life if you're going to grow spiritually for the glory of Almighty God. Number one, we're noticing this together, growth is conditional. And these four conditions, first of all, it takes the proper diet. Number two, it takes the proper atmosphere. Then number three, it takes the proper health. Now, it's interesting here that health, the word health comes from the word helig, H-E-L-I-G. Guess what other word comes from that root word? The word holy. Now you say, what's that mean? That means that what health is to the physical body, holiness is to the spiritual man. In other words, proper health to grow spiritually is to be spirit-filled, which identifies itself by a holy life. I'm telling you, if you want to be growing in grace and knowledge, you will be a holy person. That's a guaranteed fact. You show me somebody who says, well, I'm interested in spiritual things, but I don't want my music to be holy. I don't want my dress to be holy. I don't want my standards to be holy. Then I take that holiness and preach it somewhere else. Then listen to me, folks. As long as you come to this church, you're going to hear a pastor. I'm talking as long as I'm pastoring this place, who's going to ram back and tell you that you ought to be holy and I ought to be holy because our God is holy. And I'm telling you that growth is conditional, and one of the conditions is you must have proper health. In other words, if somebody has all the right food and is in the right atmosphere, but if they don't have health, which is God-given, it doesn't matter how much food they have. If they have bad health, they're not going to grow like they can. And I'm telling you that if you're reading the Bible and you're praying every day, but you're not living the Christian life, you're not growing in grace. Now, an illustration of this is what keeps the body alive? The circulation of blood to every part of the body. And I'm telling you this, that what keeps the spiritual body alive is the blessed Holy Spirit of God. I'm telling you that when we trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit moved in. However, He wants to have complete charge of your life. When you give your life to God, I'm talking about you turn the reins over to Him, lock, stock, and barrel, and you say, if you want me to do it, I will do it. If you do that, that is health in the spiritual life. That's holiness. John 14:17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Romans 8:9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? If ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now I ask you this question. is the Holy Spirit of God flowing freely to every part of your body? Does he have full control? I'm talking about, is he president in your life? I'm asking you this question. So far, are you meeting the conditions to grow? Growth is conditional. There must be the proper diet. There must be the proper atmosphere. There must be the proper health. And then there must be the proper exercise. Now, I'm cut right there, physically speaking. I'm talking about, listen, if you don't have a proper diet and proper exercise, you are harming the body. You're not helping it. You know, it's the same way spiritually. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. We beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. You know what it means to have proper exercise in the spiritual life? I'm talking about get up, do something for God. Don't be a spiritual couch potato. Get busy and do something for the glory of Almighty God. I wonder, are you exercising daily in your spiritual life? Are you doing something for God? Or do you come and sit and hear the message, thank God you're here. Thank God you're here. But are you guilty? And listen, this is between you and the Lord. I'm just presenting this. Are you guilty of being a spiritual couch potato in church? You come and sit and listen and like the messages and get something out of them, but then you don't do anything with them. You just eat them and you don't exercise. You know what happens to somebody who eats and doesn't exercise? It's affecting their health. It's the same way spiritually. God has saved us not to sit. He has saved us to serve. Is there a ministry in this church that's helping reach people for Jesus? I'm talking about an outreach ministry. I'm talking about a soul-winning ministry. Is there a ministry like that that you are involved in? If you're not, you're not exercising properly. Because exercising is doing what God tells us to do, you see. Now, we're looking at this. Growth is conditional. Growth is conditional. Are you meeting these conditions? Number two, growth is gradual. It's not only conditional, it's gradual. Growth takes time. Growth is not going to happen overnight. Now, I'm saying this, and I'm going to apply it in two different ways. There may be some people who are tempted to quit because things aren't coming the way that you thought they'd come. Can I remind you that growth is gradual? And on the flip side of that, I want to apply it to those who come and trust Christ as their Savior. I'm thinking of people right now. One man in particular, he comes on Sunday mornings. He's been here faithfully Sunday morning, 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 Sunday morning. He's been saved. I mean, he's happy in Jesus and all these kind of things. And yet the Lord wants him to come on Sunday night, Wednesday night if he can come. But what do we do about that? Do you jump on him? No. What do? You understand growing is gradual. And you got to work with people. You got to be patient with people. You ever heard somebody say, well, if they really got saved, they'd have been here Sunday. If they'd have really got saved, why haven't they gotten baptized yet? If they really got saved, hey, I know he's talking about 40-some people getting saved there and 80-some people getting saved there and 20-some people getting... I have my doubts on that because how many of them has joined the church? You know how I respond to somebody like that? When's the last time you visited one of them? When's the last time you went by and called them? When's the last time you offered to bring them to church? When's the last time you sat down with them and took them through the Growing in Grace, Stepping in the Light program? See, a lot of people can talk, but they don't like to walk. And I'm telling you, growth is gradual. You have to be patient with people. Aren't you glad somebody was patient with you, folks? There are folks out there who's made professions of faith, and somebody has discouraged them, but nobody checks on them, so they fall by the wayside. All because somebody thought they needed to do it themselves. When's the last time a baby infant jumped out of the crib and ran in and opened the refrigerator door and grabbed something to eat? If they did, please video it. I'd like to see it. We can make a lot of money off of it. I'm simply trying to tell you, growth is gradual. That applies to your life, that if you're not where you need to be, and none of us are, my friends, if you're not where you need to be, then you need to just keep eating right, keep exercising, stay in the right atmosphere, have the proper health, and God will help you take a step, a step, a step, a step. It's a gradual process. Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. 2 Thessalonians 3:13, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Number one, growth is conditional. Number two, it is gradual. Number three, it's natural. Growth is natural. Now, that is when the conditions have been met. Therefore, if you are not growing, something's wrong somewhere. Because when you meet the conditions, I'm talking about eating right, in the proper atmosphere, living a healthy life. I'm talking about giving control to the Lord Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit. And then you're exercising, you're doing something for God. When you meet the conditions, you will grow. It's natural. So if the natural process is not happening, something's off somewhere. The Bible says, in Psalm 26:2, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Growth is natural. Number four, growth is essential. Growth is essential. You must grow to survive. Now, I understand that at certain points on the height side of it, we plateau. And I plateaued early in life. I want you to know that. Now my horizontal growth is trying not to plateau. It's trying to increase on a daily basis. But all I'm saying to you here is that for a human being to stay alive, I'm talking about from an infant to an adult, growth is essential. It's essential. The body must grow to develop. And this is what I'm saying to you in Philippians chapter 3. You don't need to turn to this for time's sake, but in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, it says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, now this is Paul speaking, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I'm telling you, in your spiritual life, if you want your testimony to be the best it can be, I'm talking about to have the most influence that you can have. I'm talking about to have the power of God on your life. I'm talking about growing. It's essential that you keep growing. Don't ever stop. Then there's a fifth and final thing about growth. Growth is not only conditional and gradual and natural and essential, but number five, it's noticeable. Now, what that means is you can see it when somebody's growing. I mean, when's the last time you heard this? Boy, he's growing like a weed. She's growing like a weed. Let me tell you why. Because growth is noticeable. It will show itself. It's the same way spiritually. Have you ever heard somebody spiritually say, man, you're growing like a weed? You know what's good about these new converts is when they start getting it. And when they start getting it, they start reaching out and seeing it. And before long, they don't know any better. They say, I'm supposed to carry tracts? Okay. Have you grown out of that? You mean I'm supposed to tell somebody about Jesus? I'll be happy to. He's been so good to me. And before long, you see them. It's a joy to behold. You sit back and it's like, man, he's growing like a weed. Look at him. Look at him. It's noticeable. Let me ask you this question. Now, you're not living for others, and that's not what I'm asking, but I'm talking about the Lord. When the Lord looks at your life, does he notice growth? Or has your growth been stunted by something? The Bible says in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God and glorify your Father which is in heaven." That verse says, "Let your light so shine that others may see your good works." They see what you are doing. And because of that, they'll glorify the Heavenly Father. Growth is noticeable. Do others notice a change in your life? Do they notice growth taking place? Now you say, "Jody, what is this message all about?" It's about this. Philippians 2:12, work out your own salvation. Are you growing or are you stunning your growth? It's one or the other. You are either growing or you are stunting your growth. Now, if you're growing, it'll be because you've met the conditions. You are eating right, which is the Word of God. You are living in the right atmosphere, which is your prayer life. You have health, which is holiness, and the Holy Spirit is filling you up. And you've taken your hands and rights off of everything, and you've given control to God. And you're exercising, you are walking, you're running, you're exercising, you're doing something for God. Now, if you're doing that and you're meeting those conditions, always remember growth is gradual. But always remember as well, it's natural. And if you're not growing, something's wrong. Growth is essential. Don't ever think you've arrived. You keep growing, you keep reading, you keep praying, you keep being holy, you keep exercising. That should never change until you see Jesus face to face. And then strive that when others see you, they see your good works and they glorify your Heavenly Father which is in heaven. Now, this is a simple message tonight. And really, the invitation is this: are you in grace? Are you saved? And number two, if you're in grace, are you growing? If you're not, you can start today. If you're not reading the Bible every day, make a decision today that you're going to start reading it every day of your life. If you're not praying, make a decision today that you're going to pray every day of your life. If there's parts of your life that's unholy, your music, your standards, whatever it is, that's unholy, that's not right, then ask God to take full control and give Him full control. If you're not busy, if you're guilty of coming and sitting, and listen, please don't misunderstand me, thank God you're here, but why does God want you coming? Does He want you coming so you can just come, ease your conscience, and then wait till Sunday? No, He brings you here to feed you, to give you strength so you can go exercise and do something for Him this week. Are you doing it? Are you doing it? Somebody says, "I'm not doing that, but I'd like to get involved." Then that's part of our responsibility to help get you plugged in. But it's your responsibility to say, "God, here I am, send me." Are you growing? And if you are, I'm prodding you. If everything's in order, and I hope many of you that's the case, it's all in order, you're busy for God, you're reading the Bible, you're holy, all these kind of things. If that's in case, then what am I doing with you? I'm prodding you. Keep going. Don't ever quit. Because until you see Jesus, you need to keep on growing, keep on going, keep on exercising, keep on eating. Don't stop any of it. Keep going. Do you get it tonight? Do you understand this tonight? So simple, it's ridiculous. But I like it the simpler it is. And this is it. Are you growing? If not, start tonight. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. Pray that you'll help us now, all of us, to grow in grace. May thy will be done. Your heads are bound, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, "Jody, I've come to this service, but I am not in grace. I am not in grace." There are two types of people, those in grace and those outside of it. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Are you a born-again child of God? Do you know for sure that heaven is your home? If you don't, why don't you come on this Wednesday night and say, you know, enough's enough. I need to be saved. I need to ask Jesus to come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Come and we'll take a Bible and help you. Or maybe tonight you're there and you say, Jody, I'm a Christian, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not growing. Now here's what I'm asking. Are you abiding by the conditions that need to be met? Have you met the condition that you must have the proper diet? Are you eating right? Are you reading the Bible every day? Are you meditating upon it? Are you memorizing it? Are you trying to obey it? Are you living in a proper atmosphere and your prayer life is, nobody's prayer life is where it needs to be, but at least you're praying and seeking the Lord? Are you meeting the condition of proper health? Does the Holy Spirit have full control of your life? Your standards, your music, your television watching, your where you're going, where you don't go, what you do, what you don't do? Are you exercising? Are you up and busy for God? Are you meeting these conditions? Have you say, Jody, I'm going to be honest. There's one or more of those conditions. Now, some of them are things that you should do and shouldn't do and all these other kind of things. But you say, Jody, there's one or more of those conditions that God knows that I'm not meeting that condition. And He's speaking to me, and I want to begin to meet it tonight. I want to grow. I want to grow, and I realize that that has to be in order, and I want to begin to meet that condition. That's my prayer. Would you pray with me? If that's you, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, pray for me. Yes, several hands. May the Lord help you. May God help you. And let's all do it. Amen. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take this thought, use it in any way you see fit. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. One has responded. Here's another. As Brother Gary begins to sing, if God's speaking to you, come on, talk to God about it. Some of you need to come and begin to read the Bible every day. Whatever it is, say, God, I want to grow and I don't want to stop. Help me meet the conditions. As Brother Gary sings, you come on now.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Have thine own way.
Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded
as they're playing through soft. I want to ask this question. Please don't be embarrassed. Please don't be embarrassed. Because that's the last thing that I try to do is embarrass people. But I like to be informed so I can help. Guide and direct. Have you say, Jody, I am exercising in the work of the Lord. Here's my question. Are you helping reach people with the gospel? If you know that you're helping, whether it be giving tracts out or in a ministry of this church that's an outreach ministry, and you say, Jody, I know I am exercising in that area. I'm serving, I'm trying to reach people with the gospel. Please don't be embarrassed. If you say, Jody, I not only can tell you I am, I can tell you what ministry it is. If that's you, would you quietly there at your seat raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, I'm serving. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. If you could not raise your hand, that was many of you. And if you could not raise your hand, I want to challenge you with this thought. The Lord wants to use you in a great way. And there's so many things that you can do. Will you get involved and help us? Will you find your section of the wall? Will you find your place in the body of Christ? Will you do it? Have you say, Jody, I couldn't raise my hand a minute ago, but if God will show me where He wants me, I want Him to know that I'm willing. I couldn't raise my hand a minute ago, but I want Him to know that I'm willing. If He'll show me, I'm willing. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, that's me. I'm willing. I'm willing for that. Yes. God bless you. I'd like for you who raised your hand to make that commitment to the Lord right there at your seat. And then I want you to pay close attention to us as we preach through things. I'd like to meet with all of you if you'd like to come see me. I'd like to help you find your place. I wish you'd do that. Matter of fact, I'm going to be up front here. And if you who raise your hand say, Jody, I'd like to find my place, won't you come see me? You don't have to do this, but I'm asking you to do it. And we can try to help you find your place in this church. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we thank you for your goodness to us. Help us to be obedient to you. May thy will be done in our life. Help us to grow and keep growing. Help those who raise their hands saying that they're willing to get involved. Help them to find their place. And help us to help them find their place. And may you use them in a great way. In Jesus' name. Amen. You just remain standing. I'm going to call the church into session just a moment. We've got some missionary items to take care of, and then we'll be on.